the dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within.
September 11th marked by solemn remembrance. It's Monday, September 13th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online. We're at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, the Taliban on 9/11. Urgency to leave Afghanistan and get food in. Space news. South Asia goes back to school. It's all on today's VOA Asia. September 11, 2001 will forever be a date remembered by Americans. On that day, nearly 3,000 people were killed in an act of terrorism. President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden honored the lives of those lost on the day's 20th anniversary with visits to the sites of the attacks in New York City and the Pentagon and where a plane crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti brings us the events of the day.
Silence. Then, marking 8:46 a.m. when the first plane hit.
William G. Biggert.
Brian Eugene Bilcher.
2977. The number of those who died is seared in the hearts of Americans. At the New York City Memorial, President Joe Biden and former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. This is the site where 20 years ago, two planes slammed into the World Trade Center towers. Biden's pre-recorded words on lessons learned.
In the battle for the soul of America, unity is our greatest strength.
Silence at the Pentagon at 9:37 when a third plane hit. In Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 40 passengers forced their plane to the ground after realizing hijackers planned to crash it into another iconic building. The ground of the fourth plane now.
A common field one day, a field of honor forever.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President George W. Bush attended the Pennsylvania Memorial. 20 years ago, then-President Bush promised to defeat al-Qaeda as he led the country into wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which the U.S. military just left.
And we have seen growing evidence that the dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within.
President Biden did not speak publicly on 9/11. He kept a low profile, changing his flight route and honoring the sites only after the day's events. He talked to a few reporters at an unscheduled stop.
Can Al-Qaeda come back? Yeah, but guess what? It's already back other places. What's the strategy? Every place where Al-Qaeda is, we're going to invade and have troops stay there?
The citizens who we
at the Pentagon observance, VOA's Carla Babb asked ahead. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin if America is safer today than 20 years ago.
We operate a lot better, you know, within the interagency in terms of our ability to share information, our ability to coordinate and deconflict. So because of all of those things, I would say, yeah, we are safer.
Some say safer, too, because of the lives lost, honored Saturday, and the military who went into battle as a result of 9/11. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, Washington.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Australian court rules media companies responsible for comments on their Facebook pages. Why China would give more aid and investment to Leary Philippines. Taliban say women to study in segregated classes. Would-be foreign fighters dreaming of Afghanistan. School in a bus brings hope to out-of-school children in India's capital. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are found on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. 20 years after the United States and NATO ousted them from power, the Taliban are back. But as VOA's Aisha Tanzim reports, the country they are trying to rule is now filled with a youthful population that is significantly more educated and aware.
As the Taliban wipe colorful murals with their human faces from Kabul's walls, many wonder how many of the gains of the last 20 years will be washed away with them. The insurgent group now in power is trying to rule a country that looks much different than the one it ruled 20 years ago. And while the Taliban have promised their new regime will be different from the oppressive rule of the 1990s, the international community is expressing profound disappointment with their cabinet selections.
Those who hoped for and urged for inclusivity will be disappointed. There are no women in the names listed. There are no non-Taliban members, no figures from the past government, nor leaders of minority groups.
Still, it's a mixed picture. The Taliban so far have respected the premises of foreign embassies and the United Nations. They have also given public pledges of a general amnesty for all their enemies. And they promise to uphold human rights, including women rights, as per their Islamic ideology. The international community also hopes to have some sway over the group, given the country's dependence on foreign aid. That help is urgently needed as the country faces a humanitarian crisis.
There is an immediate and pressing need to deliver, on a huge scale, essential humanitarian aid in areas such as health, food security, non-food items, and sanitation.
The Afghans of today are more educated and more connected to the world through mainstream and social media. Since 2004, they are also used to a constitution that gives equal rights to men and women. Many of them intend to use those rights, despite fears of a Taliban reprisal. Tamanna Pariyani protested against the Taliban in the streets of Kabul earlier this week. She sent VOA this message on WhatsApp.
For now, I don't have any plan to flee Afghanistan. I am continuing my struggle until the international community accepts the Taliban's government. If the Taliban government is accepted by the international community, I would have no choice but to abandon Afghanistan and seek refuge in another country.
The Taliban are wiping away many of the changes of the last 20 years, but they also want to be recognized as a legitimate government, and that may require them to step back from extremist positions. Aisha Tanzim, VOA News, Islamabad.
Happening now in Asia, children in Bangladesh flooded back into classrooms Sunday as schools reopened after 18 months, one of the world's longest coronavirus shutdowns. The resumption came after UNICEF warned that prolonged school closures during the COVID-19 crisis were worsening inequities for millions of children across South Asia. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We start off a brand new week together on VOA Asia. Nice to have you with us. A Qatar Airways passenger flight arrived in Doha from Afghanistan, the second to depart from the Kabul airport with the Taliban's permission since the chaotic U.S. military withdrawal that ended August 31st. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has the latest on evacuations from Afghanistan.
158 passengers, including Americans and other foreigners, are now in Doha, Qatar. Friday's flight is the second to depart from the Kabul airport since the chaotic U.S. military evacuations in August. The White House said 19 Americans were on the plane, but would not confirm to VOA whether they still consider flights out of Afghanistan as evacuations.
We're considering them people departing who want to depart of Afghanistan. I'm not sure that the word matters.
While many are now safe, at least hundreds of at-risk Afghans and some Americans are still left behind, including in the city of Mazar-i-Sharif, where private groups are attempting to get charter flights out.
I think the more we continue to call them evacuations, the more it will also add more political pressure onto those on the plane, probably more scrutiny onto those on the flights also. So there's a good part about kind of stopping to use that language. But at the same time, I really hope that that does not mean that we go about business as usual, because we do know there are people left behind that do not have passports, that do not have visas, and that still need our help.
The Biden administration is working with regional countries, including Qatar, where U.S. Secretaries of State and Defense visited earlier this week, to push for help for the people who want to leave Afghanistan. U.S. CIA Director William Burns was also in India and Pakistan earlier this week. Islamabad is committed to helping those who wish to leave Afghanistan, Pakistan's ambassador to the U.S. told VOA.
Now, in terms of who can come out and who cannot come out, this is a decision and determination to be made by the people in charge in Afghanistan. But so far as Pakistan is concerned, we have actually, our embassy has been working overtime.
Meanwhile, Afghans are arriving in other countries, including Albania, which is temporarily hosting 4,000 Afghan refugees. Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama told VOA that his country considers it a duty to help them.
As a NATO member country, we had to stand for taking our share of responsibility to protect the people that were there for us and that worked with us.
The Taliban's return to power on August 15th has some Afghans, including those who work with international forces, worried that they may face reprisals, such as the one experienced by two Afghan journalists who say they were beaten by the Taliban this week and accused of organizing a protest in Kabul. Patsy Widahuswara, VOA News at the White House.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube. This news from VOA Asia. Pakistan International Airlines said it was all geared up to restart commercial flights from Islamabad to Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, but made no final decision. A spokesman for the national carrier told VOA there are a lot of factors on the ground that still need to be managed. You'll find this in all the big stories on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. The World Food Program warns acute hunger is deepening in Afghanistan, and families are resorting to extreme measures to find something to eat and keep their children from starving. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The World Food Program warns acute hunger is deepening in Afghanistan, and families are resorting to extreme measures to find something to eat and keep their children from starving. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva. Randomized phone surveys carried out between August 21st and September 5th in all of Afghanistan's 34 provinces find 93% of households do not have enough to eat. World Food Program Deputy Regional Director Anthea Webb says many families are teetering on the verge of absolute destitution and are employing negative coping measures to survive.
Those are things like skipping meals or preferring to give food to children instead of adults or limiting portion sizes to make food last longer have almost doubled. So now there are 3 out of 4 Afghan families employing at least one, if not more, of those approaches.
Food insecurity was widespread prior to the takeover of the country by Taliban militants on August 15th. Before that date, WFP phone surveys that got underway June 17th found 81% of households were short of food. The survey found a marked deterioration of food security after August 15th, following the collapse of the Afghan government and Taliban seizure of the capital, Kabul. WFP reports 14 million people are going hungry. including 2 million malnourished children in need of special nutritional feeding to survive. The country's economy is in shambles. People are out of work and do not have money to buy food. Webb says a major concern is to pre-position food for millions of people before winter sets. She says it is now a race against time to deliver life-saving assistance to the Afghan people who need it the most before roads are cut off by snow.
We need to be reaching 9 million people per month by November if we're to meet our planned target of 14 million by the end of the year. We've appealed for $200 million, and a number of countries have come forward and made offers to help. But we are quite literally begging and borrowing to avoid food stocks running out.
WFP has managed to assist 6.4 million Afghans this year. Webb says it has provided nutrient-dense foods to nearly 600,000 people across the country since mid-August, including meals for tens of thousands of children and mothers. With support of the international community, Webb says WFP will be able to purchase and transport food to strategic locations before it is too late. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Japan's defense ministry said Sunday a submarine believed to be from China was spotted in waters near its southern islands as maritime tensions persist in the Pacific. Japan's Navy on Friday morning identified a submerged vessel sailing northwest just outside territorial waters, according to the ministry in a statement. A Chinese destroyer was also spotted in the vicinity. Tokyo has complained of numerous intrusions by Chinese vessels of its territorial waters and near disputed islands in recent years. China has often acted angrily to U.S. ships sailing through disputed areas of the South China Sea in what Washington calls displays of freedom of navigation. Officials at the Chinese embassy could not be immediately reached for comment Sunday. The submarine continued underwater westward in the ocean, according to the Japanese ministry. Read, hear, and see all of our stories by following VOA Asia at our website, voanews.com. Making headlines in Asia, China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi is visiting Cambodia, meeting with Prime Minister Hun Sen and other officials to discuss COVID-19 and other regional issues. Wrapping up a visit to neighboring Vietnam Saturday, Wang said China is planning to donate 3 million vaccine doses to that country. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, a series of spacewalks were made outside the International Space Station, plus a fire scare in the Russian section of the ISS and amateur stargazers in Iraq. VOA's Arash Arabasadi brings us news from space.
Russian cosmonauts Oleg Novitsky and Pyotr Dubrov spacewalked outside their ISS outpost to ready the Nyoka multipurpose laboratory module for a wide range of scientific experiments. It was the duo's second trip outside in the past week. The two were hopefully well-rested following a night in which smoke alarms went off in their section of the station. Russia's space agency said the alarms rang while charging the station's batteries. The crew activated air filters and went back to sleep. The alarms follow a bumpy Russian docking with the ISS earlier this summer. Back on Earth, a team of amateur astronomers drawn together by social media set up camp at an ancient Mesopotamian site in modern-day Iraq.
You know that in the 1990s, electricity was not good. So all over, Iraq people would go to the roof. We would stare at the sky. So we know the planets and the names of the stars. Our love for astronomy started when we were young.
Ancient Babylonian astronomers here used sophisticated geometry to study the heavens, and for years, credit for their work went to medieval European scholars. Muhammad says it's important to share a passion for the stars with the younger generation.
This is so beautiful. For someone who has not seen something like this before, you realize the value of the universe compared to us. You will feel how small we are. It will motivate us to learn more, love astronomy more. One will dig deeper in this field, ask, and do research.
The group's name is the Amateur Team of Astronomy in Space, and they first met in 2020. Finally, a mixed bag of environmental news. Air pollution plummeted during coronavirus pandemic lockdowns, with fine particle pollution cut by a third across parts of Asia, according to a recent report by the World Meteorological Organization. The report showed nitrogen dioxide levels from burning fuel fell everywhere in some places by as much as 70%. All good news, but as air pollution fell in some places, sand and dust storms linked to climate change worsened air quality in others. Plus, the report says those climate gains were short-lived and won't have any long-lasting effects. And following Hurricane Ida striking the U.S. Gulf Coast, these satellite images show what's being called a substantial oil spill. The region is an industrial hub with ports, pipelines, and a nuclear power plant. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
Just as the Earth's atmosphere and magnetic field protects us from harmful radiation, our entire solar system is also protected from interstellar radiation by the heliosphere, a huge bubble that's inflated by the sun's magnetic field and energy from the solar wind. The region of the heliosphere where both the solar and interstellar winds meet and push against each other is called the heliopause. Scientists have theorized and built models of the heliopause, but the U.S. Department of Energy's Los Alamos National Laboratory say they have recently created the first three-dimensional map of this boundary region that marks the edge of the solar system. To create the map, the Los Alamos scientists used data from NASA's Interstellar Boundary Explorer, or IBEX, satellite that was gathered over a complete solar cycle from 2009 to 2019. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
From India to Indonesia, Israel to Mexico, students around the world have returned to classrooms after more than a year since the COVID-19 pandemic hit. But government guidelines for schools have changed many class traditions. We hear more from VOA's Mariama Diallo.
The new academic year started with new pandemic guidelines for schools across the globe. Students are getting temperature checks, must have clean hands, wear masks, and in some places, don face shields. In Israel, students were tested at the start of school.
All of the kids in our school performed the quick test, the antigen test. It's not mandatory, but it's something that we ask the parents to collaborate with us. So hopefully we can start the year with everybody being healthy and safe.
So we did the home COVID test and it was negative, so it was good. But I had a problem with my big boy. He was afraid of it very much. And I said, I'll do it to you. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. But so it took a while to convince him.
In Mexico, thousands of schools have opened their doors in a nation with more than 30 million students. Protocols in Mexico include masks, temperature checks, and washing with hand sanitizer. Students are heading back to school after closures last year affected some 660 million students, according to the World Health Organization.
Children have been affected significantly, both in terms of their educational attainment and progress, particularly, for example, younger children who have been delayed in their reading and literacy progress.
Students have also been impacted by the lack of socialization.
In fact, we are quite concerned about the mental health impact that this has had on children. And two of the advisory groups that we have set up since the beginning of the year in our region are on mental health and on schooling.
The French government called for caution as 12 million students return to school this month.
C'est une rentrée particulière.
The back-to-school season can lead to a renewal of the epidemic, so we have to be particularly careful. And this also requires us to continue the vaccination campaign because the vaccine remains an important tool in our ability to get through the crisis in the most sustainable manner possible.
In Indonesia, school bells are ringing again, but government guidelines have changed some things. Talking in class is not allowed. Face masks must be worn and teachers must be vaccinated. Indian authorities have given the green light to partially reopen more schools with health measures in place throughout September. Some education experts say the virus risk to children remain low and stress the need for children to return to school, particularly poorer students who face more challenges due to classes online. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
That's our program for today. You've been listening to VOA Asia. We're online. Continue with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We also thank our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.